Blog Talk Radio.
It's fantastic. I love it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Dark chocolate almonds, baby.
We are officially ready to talk some sports. I think I hear a little echo. I'm not sure if that's your phone, JQ, but hope all is well. We're going to check in across the room. Sorry we missed last week. Crazy week, but we're all back. We're here. Let's check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good. My phone's just on speaker. I'm not on Bluetooth, so I don't think that should be me. I'm all right, I guess. You know, I'm here running around trying to get home after working this hockey game. Had to watch my Bengals get dump trucked on Monday Night Football, so that wasn't pleasant, but, you know, it is what it is. One game, move on.
Right. Yeah. We'll talk about that, because something about division rivalries, right? There's something about that. Matchups. I think the Bengals have been 0-5 against the Browns, it feels like. I don't know what it is, so I don't know, but we'll talk about that, too, so I don't know. It's all good. I was going to give you some compliments last week about the Bengals and Falcons. I'll talk about that a little later. So, all good. Rob, how you feeling?
Hey, man, doing great, man. Just had those dark chocolate almonds, man. A little something different than asparagus.
All right. I don't have a comment for that. Curtis. Gary, how you guys doing this evening?
We're doing good. Like I said, had a lot of trick-or-treaters, had a lot of fun just watching those kids. But besides that, you know, when we got word that you were, you know, in a car accident, you know, that's where all my thought was at that point. You know, I just prayed that you'd be okay and everything was all right, and you know, we were concerned and we're glad you're here with us, and so that's where our thoughts were at with you.
Absolutely.
Andre,
I'm gonna buy my wheelchair so that go down to Max City and we would get all the love. I'm kidding.
I'm playing. No, that was.
Yeah, but looking at that car, man, we the Gary's point, man. Looking at the pictures of that car, man, it's definitely blessed that no severe injuries or anything like that. So, definitely a blessing.
Yeah, 100%.
God covered you.
Yeah. Appreciate that. I'm sure the wife was texting you guys, so you know, I can't believe she said I was starving. Yeah. So we'll talk about that a little later. That was funny. But, no, I appreciate that. And, you know, obviously, I know Curtis goes to a lot, too. So it's really, you know, obviously kind of tough because he's doing a lot of stuff, too. So it's hard for me to really complain about certain things, too. But just thank you for that, the prayers, and really appreciate you guys. So this is definitely a therapy and all that fun stuff, too. So, you know, like I said, just a little sore. But, you know, definitely can't complain. I was able to walk away. And I'm looking forward to this week and hanging out with you, Rob, too. So we'll have some fun with that, too. So it should be good. And
hey,
love talking to sports with you guys. So.
I'm sorry, Andre, before we go any further, I think it's your device that's echoing. Because when I heard Rob talk,
mine?
JQ. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I got it. Cool. I got you. Thank you for the catch up. I just muted that line. Okay, cool. Thank you for the heads up. Cool, there it is. All right, I'm
hey,
getting myself together.
Dre, yeah. You know what time it is. Man. Chicago, man. So we got to get some deep dish pizza to go with our asparagus.
I don't know about the asparagus, but all good. Thank you for that, Gary, too, for catching that, too, because I'm always trying to get everything to start. Got to get that squared away.
That's a bit of a reach there.
Yeah.
That is disgusting. Deep dish pizza, man? That's what you got to eat in Chicago.
No, no. Nobody's calling deep dish pizza disgusting. You said to go with the asparagus. That's when you lost everybody in the room.
Yeah. Come on.
You
and I love asparagus, but come on.
Rob, I'm going to have to say, if you eat asparagus, we're going to have separate rooms, man. I can't have that smell in the room.
So just,
I'm throwing that out for one day, you know what I'm saying? So just
yeah.
Hey, not now, but hell no.
Hey. Let's talk to someone.
I want to hear what JQ has to say about his Bengals. That's what I want to start with.
Simple. Oh, they suck. They got dominated. They looked like they didn't know they had a football game. Our kicker missed a field goal, an extra point. They just ran at will right down our throat. That was embarrassing. I mean, there's nothing else to say. That's one of those ones where you almost don't even watch the tape. Like, you know, that's not who we are. We're going to throw that away. We're going to get ready for Carolina on Sunday and move forward because they got embarrassed on Sunday night. They came out and played a team that was desperate. That was 2-5, and, you know, they had to have a win, and the Bengals didn't match their intensity or their physicality, and it showed, and they got their ass whooped. Just short and sweet.
You said it, JQ, and it was really in the trenches where they got beat, too. Both line of scrimmages, they got whipped. And you know, I'm somewhat of a Bengals fan, too. I call them the Cincinnati Bayou Bengals. And so, they got whipped in the trenches, and that was hard to see. Look, they couldn't block Myles Garrett. As JQ just mentioned, they couldn't stop the run. And they just got whipped in the trenches, unfortunately, last night.
Well, the only thing that I would say on it is sometimes in these games like that, in divisional games especially, and I've talked about it in the past, but sometimes you know how your team's going to go early on.
Mm-hmm.
You just know, oh, this is not good. This isn't going to be good tonight. And I've been there. I've experienced that many times with my Cowboys. So I was just wondering if that's how you were feeling, you know, watching this game.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah. When they threw that interception, when it was driving, that first drive, and then that ball got tipped by Myles Garrett, aforementioned Myles Garrett, and it stopped the drive, I said, uh-oh. On the road, you can't let the crowd get into it. But then the defense held. But, you know, when you're watching the offense not be able to run the ball, and it's Zach Taylor, and I keep trying to tell y'all, he is a terrible head coach. He calls the plays like he still has Jamar Chase. It's like, what are you doing? Run the ball. Give it to Boyd and Hurst over the middle. You're still out here calling these plays like Jamar Chase is on the field, and I knew he would. So I was hoping against hope that I was wrong. But if I'm being honest, I didn't expect him to get embarrassed like that, but I figured they might lose because he just isn't. He doesn't adapt fast enough. You saw how the season started, where it took him 3-4 games to figure out to go to the shotgun and then run out of that and do that. But, you know, I was like, it's going to take him some games to figure out how to live without Jamar Chase. So I wasn't surprised that we lost too much. I was surprised in the manner that we lost.
Good enough.
We were going to ask you if Jamar losing him was that much of an – I mean, he's a great impact. That's an understatement, too. But just, you know, there's a team kind of flat, you know, just they were still kind of shell-shocked. Feels like after losing him, as far as the news and whatnot, too, you know, after an ass kicking that you gave the Falcons the week before, too, so maybe they were kind of feeling themselves or, you know, whatever, feeling better than they were and whatnot. But, you know, like we talked about, that's a division game, so it's one of the situations where you know it's going to be a little more tougher. But, like you said, I didn't think that was expected. Obviously, Jamar was just a huge situation, so I didn't know if that was kind of a combination of everything that happened, too. So just – this is such an interesting situation. But did you have a fun time at the Bengals-Falcons game, though, JQ?
Oh, man, I had a blast. Got to hang out with my brother. You know, we don't get to do it a whole lot with me being here in Atlanta and him being in Cincinnati. So, you know, we went and had a good time. His seats were right behind the goalpost in the second level, so we saw everything, you know, pretty good. So, I had a blast going to Cincinnati and, of course, going to see my family, especially with everything that's happened this summer. Wasn't really a good time. I really needed it. But, yeah, yesterday brought me right back down to earth.
Did you eat some of that chili or the spaghetti?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Definitely had some. Had it a couple of times.
All right. Wow. I got to try that next time. I haven't been to Cincinnati in a while. I think since 2014, but I'll have to try that.
Yeah, I know people have to fire catch some people, but yeah.
Yeah. We'll connect with some good trades, too, that's been happening. I know JQ's getting settled, so like he's getting at the house. We'll talk about some trades. We'll connect with Curtis and Gary. I was going to say, just really quickly, I mean, I hope that, you know, in spite of the ass-kicking, that the Falcons do get some respect. I mean, there's a couple of questionable situations where I had where I'm like, man, Cincinnati's ready to stop the run. And then, you know, we had some open plays, and they're like, oh, man, how come we – you know, they go more play action because I felt Cincinnati was kind of ready for us from that, man. So, I don't know. I mean, I know it was kind of a tough situation. I knew our secondary was pretty depleted. Didn't matter if we had a healthy A.J. Terrell, as Rob lets us know, because A.J. Terrell still got beat by Jamar Chase in college. But still, it shows a difference. Having a great pass rush can definitely help out that. So, something we need to work on for sure. But, anyway, that was kind of last week. I wanted to talk about that and give you some congrats for sure, man. So, you know, I don't know. I didn't expect us to win. But, again, I was just hoping for us to get some respect. So, you know, it's good for that. And,
y'all getting the respect.
Yeah.
I'm just happy because everyone predicted 4 wins. I think we're going to win more than 4 wins. So, I'm just saying, everyone's probably we were, like, shitty and everything like that. But we're going to be a little better, I think. So, I'm just happy that we're getting rid of those types of –
Let's hear a prediction from you. You're going to be a little bit better.
I'm hoping, you know, we got at least, you know, 8 wins in us. I'm thinking that we got 8 wins, you know, but it sucks because we're not going to be bad enough to get win the quarterback, obviously, but we'll see how it plays out. So, I mean, we're going to have a lot of cap space. Can't wait to talk about all the trades. This has been probably one of the busiest, I think the most trades this year from what Adam Schefter was talking about. 10 trades, it kind of affects the dynamics as far as everything. I think your Cowboys
most trades before the trading deadline in NFL history, actually.
Adam Schefter normally very that quiet. Out. So we got to talk about that. So just the interesting dynamic as far as there's a lot of teams. I think we had a lot of 3-3 teams. Now everything is kind of coming to play. We got a lot of surprise teams. We talked about the Colts, what's been going on with them. So let's talk about that, if you will, and love to hear your thoughts as far as I know. The first trade we had right out the gate was Roquan Smith being traded to Baltimore. And I guess we'll give it to you, Curtis and Gary. What do you think about that? Is that – I mean, you talk about a Baltimore defense that was already, you know.
Right. I mean, that's –
stronger. So tell us your thoughts about that. Yeah, good.
Yeah, that's – you know, there's some great trades. That's a Ravens – you know, they're already a stud defense. They've got another player in there that's going to help that out. You know, what the Niners did, you know, bringing in McCaffrey. Oh, my God. Now, the only thing I can say about that is, you know, will he be able to stay healthy? You know, he's been injury prone. If he stays healthy, when you've got a good defense, just like we talked about earlier, you know, when you've got a good defense and a strong running game, those are the hard outs in the playoffs, you know, because those travel, you know. So, those two moves there are fantastic. You know, the Cowboys, they really didn't make any big splash. I think they're still looking at OBJ, but we'll see if that materializes. I'd like to see it.
OBJ,
like to see him bring him
you meant to say that?
What's that?
Did
Odell
you miss to say OBJ?
Yes, absolutely. What's
that? Okay. I don't know if it's something. Was that an accident or did you meant to say that OBJ?
No, he said OBJ. You know, that's what.
Sound like
OBJ. Jerry Jones was
you got to replay that.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Okay. Hey, listen, Rob. Sorry about the crack earlier. I apologize. Okay, we're even now.
No.
But,
I don't know if that was supposed to be a joke
as far as the Cowboys go, I'd love to see him bring in, you know, somebody like Odell Beckham Jr. because the guy is, he's still got the skills. And I'm still not convinced about CeeDee Lamb being the number one guy. I'm really not. I saw in this last game he did the same thing as the game before. Instead of cutting across in front of the guy and hitting that ball away, he just lollygagged around and, you know, and made another bad play. Being that number one guy means blocking. It means batting balls away, and it means getting those clutch catches. And I'm seeing some good catches, but I'm seeing good catches from a number two guy trying to be a number one guy. So far, I'm not seeing him being a number one. So I think we need receiver help.
I'll tell you what, Dak and Tony Pollard put on the show in that game, especially Tony Pollard. Man, even with a healthy Zeke Elliott, the Cowboys are smart. Pollard needs to have more touches, man. He just has explosion.
Well, the thing about that, though, is you got to be careful because I think it's like to me sometimes with Antonio Gibson, right, in Washington, like he has the explosion, but if you use him up too much and he loses that explosion and he starts to fumble and do things bad as the game progresses. So they got to be careful. And, you know, I'm a big fan. I understand that. I think Pollard has to get some more touches, but you just can't go totally away from Zeke. Cause I think when you start pounding on Pollard and that those weeks start to add up on him, he starts to lose a little bit of that. Having Zeke out there to do all the dirty work keeps Pollard fresh. So you also got to remember they played a really bad Bears team. That's not good. So I'll keep it in perspective. Had a great day. But, you know, you just can't phase Zeke all the way out. You want to keep Pollard fresh. If I was a Cowboys fan and coach, I want to make sure I keep him in the right circumstances. He's not the greatest pass protector either, and Zeke is a monster at it. So you got to pick and choose your spots when you put him in the game.
No, I agree with that. I didn't say to phase Zeke out, but I think he probably should be at this point in his career, he should be getting more touches. In this day and age, you got to have multiple running backs to be successful. And
He had the most carries this last game of 14 carries. So he's not getting he'll probably end up getting more touches, but the difference between those two guys in those real tough yardage, the little 1 yard runs and 2 yard runs to pick up a first down, that's where you want Zeke because he can go get it for you. And Pollard's not that guy.
Go ahead with the
Leroy. And then in the passing game, you know, Zeke just puts himself in a really good position to slow those big guys down that are coming in there. He does a good job at it. He's one of the best at it.
Hey, Dre, is Zeke Elliott in the Leroy Horde stage in his career yet?
Yes, he is. Give me. Oh, well, that's a great analogy.
You need one, he'll get you three. You need five, he'll get you three.
You need two, he'll get you three. That's exactly the quote, too. He's still productive. But, hey, Gary, I'm going to tell you, too, I think for CeeDee Lamb, I think he's still a young receiver. So, I mean, I think definitely he probably does need a mentor to kind of help him out for sure. I mean, I don't know if it's OBJ, but, again, you know, the kid is talented, but you just need somebody to kind of guide you as far as he's still a young guy. I mean, he's extremely talented. Just somebody to kind of help him with that work ethic, kind of say this is what you do as a number one receiver. Because I don't know if the Cowboys have that at this juncture.
Well,
he's got guys mentoring him,
you know. Mm-hmm. And he had a guy that was, you know, there with him in Cooper that was, you know, that one guy when he was – the two or the third guy, you know, the third option.
Yeah.
So he's had those guys. Yeah. So at some point you got to say, if you're the number one guy, guess what? Learning curve is over. Be the number one guy.
Fair enough. All right. Good stuff. This is tough love, as Gary says. Let's talk about all these trades, if you will, too. So, Rob, man, you talk about a flurry of things that are happening. I mean, let's do the quick update if we can spend some time as far as some really – great headlines. Like, we're sitting back, we're like, this guy got traded. This guy, we're like, what? It's kind of the dust has settled.
Yep.
And I guess if you want to pick some winner or loser, we can talk about that too. But just some interesting situations here. I don't know if you guys want to talk about any of that shocking that you didn't expect. But kind of right out the gate, there's been a lot of fireworks here. So I'll go with you, Rob, and kind of get some updates as far as what's been happening and everyone's thoughts on that for sure.
Well, I won't touch on all of them, but I'll touch on a few of them here. I'll touch on the one with the Dolphins here. I mean, Dolphins are acquiring Jeff Wilson from the 49ers. You know, Jeff Wilson, of course, joining forces again with Michael McDaniel in Miami from San Francisco. You know, that gives them some depth at the running back position with Mostert as well. Then you get Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher from Denver, to go with that defense too. And then they get another pass rusher as well for depth purposes. And so, I mean, they're trying to make a run here. I mean, I know it's one of the topics here on the show. Do they have arguably the best wide receivers? Miami, since Tua's been back, they've won two in a row. Been 5-3 here over the last couple of weeks. They've won two in a row, and they're back up to 5-3 and back in contention for that division, but more than likely for a wild card with the way the Bills are playing. Another one, T.J. Hockenson to Minnesota, which was, to me, that was a big surprise. Number one, because it went to a team in your division. And, you know, Minnesota is trying to contend for the NFC title this year. I mean, they're 6-1. They're game back behind the Eagles for number one seed in the NFC. So it's giving Kirk Cousins another weapon to go with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. And now you add a Hockenson to the fold. You got Dalvin Cook in the backfield. So, I mean, Kirk Cousins has no more excuses. I mean, you look around him. You know, it's like Fred Sanford said, look around you, man. You're sitting on a gold mine. You know, Kirk Cousins got a gold mine around him right now. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, T.J. Hockenson. I mean, he's got a boatload of talent around him right now in Minnesota.
No excuse.
Another surprise. It's kind of surprised the Steelers gave up on Claypool so soon, too. And I know he hasn't been a number one receiver, maybe not even number two, but I thought he was a productive receiver, you know, someone that could possibly grow with Kenny Pickett. But hey, if you're Justin Fields, this is what you need. You need another weapon there in Chicago. So if you're the Bears, this is good for Justin Fields, and he gets an opportunity to have a young receiver to kind of grow with them. And then Dre, Calvin Ridley to the Jaguars. And I think if you're the Falcons, you got some draft picks in return. And so it's, as you're trying to, you know, still rebuild that organization, and you know Calvin Ridley wasn't coming back. So in that regard, it's a good deal for the Falcons. And the Jaguars, hey, you're taking a risk here, you know. How's this guy going to recover from what he went through, right? Is he going to ever be the same again, right? So the Jaguars taking a bit of a risk here, and I think if you're the Falcons, you got to look at this as a win. You're able to unload him, and you still got draft picks in return. And then the Buffalo Bills trading Zach Moss to the Colts, got Hines.
Yeah.
Hines reminds me a lot of Devin, who they already have back there, though, too. They're both versatile backs.
Yeah.
They both catch the ball out of the backfield very well. So they're definitely very similar football players. So gives them two backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield on third down. That can run a little bit out of – yeah, three. You're right, because you forgot you got James Cook there too. So you got three backs now that you can rotate through in that backfield.
Nothing changes offensively.
Yep. It gives them a lot of flexibility. The playbook is wide open with any of those in the game because they're practically the same player, right? So everything is open, right? So it doesn't limit them in what they want to do offensively. So very interesting trade there too.
I was shocked at that Moss trade because of what you just said, but Moss was the most physical of all the backs they had. And if you don't want to keep putting Josh Allen in that position that has to be the guy to be your running back to get those tough yards, why would you not feature Zach Moss more in that role? So I was a little shocked at that. It seemed like that was just kind of going sideways, right, like not going backwards and forwards with the trade. What really got me was those two, with Hockenson, like Detroit. He's been very productive for Detroit, and if they re-sign him, Irv Smith with the high ankle sprains, I just thought it come up that he might miss 8 to 10 weeks. So that gives you a reason why Minnesota made that deal, because they're all in on this season. But what if they re-sign him? Now you got to fetch this dude twice a season for the length of that contract he re-signs in Minnesota. Like, that to me is very disrespectful. That I'm a trade in the division. I have no fear of going against you twice a year. You could have that dude. And for what he did for the Detroit organization, like, he was one of sometimes their only pro bowler. I was really just shocked about that. The other one was Miami. You talk about pushing it to the middle, right? Like, I don't know if they've given up. on getting that division from Buffalo. I really don't. And part of that is why it's going to be Bradley Chubb. Let's go get another running back.
Yeah.
You know, we've got two wide receivers. We got a good tight end in Kaseki. Like, well, now we've got two running backs we can rotate. And now we got somebody that is big and fast and physical and tough that we can put out there and try to get after Josh Allen. I think that is a Josh Allen-centric trade. It's not about Patrick Mahomes. It's not about Lamar Jackson. It's not about Joe Burrow. It's about Josh Allen. So I was like, wow, Miami. And sometimes you're like, I wish my team would be that aggressive. Ask them picks. Like, if you got a nucleus right now on a quarterback on a rookie deal, you go after it and go get it, right? And Jalen Waddle's still on a rookie deal. So I love it from Miami standpoint. If I'm a Dolphins fan, that shows me that my owner, Stephen Ross, even though he might be a jackass, is all about giving us the keys to the kingdom to go win right now. So to me, that was the biggest one outside of McCaffrey. The McCaffrey one, listen, that San Francisco deal is ridiculous. They get Debo back healthy with Ayuk and McCaffrey and Kittle. They just need Garoppolo just not to fall over. Like, just don't you be the problem. Because you talked about Kirk Cousins, same thing with Garoppolo. He's got all the weapons. So I was really surprised and kind of admired the move from San Francisco to get McCaffrey and Miami to go get Bradley Chubb.
Yep.
Miami
traded a last draft pick from the 2023 draft, from my understanding, too. So I think as of right now, Miami has no picks in the 2023 draft.
Have some picks. Good, Gary.
Good, Gary.
Well, then they did very well in the draft because they got guys in there that can help them win now.
Exactly.
Instead of unproven guys, they've got proven guys. I like that move.
Rams won a Super Bowl with that philosophy, right? So a lot of teams are copying that model, right? I mean, the Rams haven't had a first or second round pick for like 3 or 4 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, they've had some late round draft picks, but the Rams won the Super Bowl last year. I know they're struggling this year, and it's catching up to them a little bit, but they did win the Super Bowl with that philosophy. So a lot of teams are copying that model. They're going for it.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that's going to get in the Vikings' way is Kirk Cousins. I think at some point, sometime, when it's that crunch time game and you got to get something and he throws a pick six, they're going to be saying, we did it for nothing. We did all of this for nothing. Thank you, Kirk, once again.
You can put Garoppolo on that same thing.
What's that?
I said you can put Garoppolo in that same sentence because
he seems
like a guy that does well with pressure anyway. Now they put more pressure on him. Like, you got everything. And they might – what if they face each other like in a divisional round in the NFC?
Yep. They did a few years ago.
That's funny.
Yeah.
God.
It might happen again.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was going to say –
and then they both just start screwing up.
The 49ers are still a game behind Seattle right now, and
that's what I'm saying. They might just try to see him in the wild card divisional round because of that. If Seattle keeps playing well,
I mean, the last quarterback I remember to have this kind of revitalization in his early 30s is Rich Gannon, and Geno Smith is throwing the ball down the field and accurately too. And now, when you look at it, he's got two weapons on the outside, and Kenneth Walker has been a straight up beast here the last 3 to 4 weeks, so they got something going all of a sudden.
Well, Pete Carroll got the last laugh on that.
They look like a genius right now.
He gets rid of Russell Wilson, that he obviously knows there's no more Russell Wilson. You know. As we've seen, he doesn't have a lot left in the tank. They bring in this guy, and it does. He just revised it. You know, he's this new quarterback now. He's not the same old Geno. You know, he's actually playing good football, and they're winning the division, you know. So,
And they're the team. He's 32 years old.
I think they're the team, if I'm not mistaken, all of us picked to pick last in that division.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Praise
God.
Two weapons, a running game, and a decent defense. helps any quarterback.
Well, their defense has been playing better the last few weeks. I mean, early in the season, their defense was extremely shaky. I mean, I think they beat Detroit like 48-45. So, their defense was
still like that.
Extremely shaky here in the first 5 weeks of the season.
But they've come on. He's had a good draft class. We talked a lot about Pete Carroll swinging and missing like Bill Belichick here recently. He's had a good draft class. Those dudes are contributing. And that helps the quarterback.
Yeah.
Getting weapons, a running game. And it don't have to be a top five defense. If it can be a top 15 defense, takes a lot of pressure on Geno. He just go out there and play ball.
They look like geniuses for making that trade. And I think most people, even most people in the NFL circles there, they thought Drew Lock was going to be the starter when they made that trade. And I don't think any of us and a lot of people in the NFL circle thought it was going to be Geno over Drew Lock. But what a move by the Seattle organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of wrong picks. We'll get to Gary's top five. I want to highlight really quickly the Stockton trade because, Rob, that was interesting too because the way that the picks were actually positioned, which is pretty interesting. Obviously, if nothing goes wrong, if Calvin doesn't come in and do anything like that, we're gonna get at least a 2023 sixth-round pick and a 2024 fourth-round pick. Now, if he comes in, does well, which, we're still figuring out if he does, if he's reinstated and he gets extended, those picks get upgraded to a 2003 fifth-round pick and a 2024 second-round pick. So that's pretty huge if that comes if he actually does get reinstated. And the good news is that we also clear about $11 million off the books, too. So, again, our cap space going into 2023 is going to be really, really great, too. So, again, I think it finally sets us up in a great position after getting rid of Matt Ryan, that contract. So we've kind of suffered some losses, but we've been able to kind of navigate. So it's been pretty interesting what's been happening. And this is, we've been pretty, no one's expected us to be world beaters, but we've been very solid. We've always been quiet before during the trade line deadline. So this is like Christmas early because you're like, wow, we're actually doing some things. We're getting, you can talk about Rashad Fenton, the cornerback we got from the Chiefs. I mean, that's a pretty solid move, right? Because, again, we lost Casey Hayward, Adrian Patrol's kind of out. We got some kind of guys who's these guys, and now you get a guy that's at least played in the league. He played against, the Chargers. That's pretty helpful. We got rid of Dee Marlowe. We got some picks. So it's kind of interesting what's happening as far as we're like, okay, we're not kind of used to getting some moves during the trade deadline. So right now, I mean, I got nothing but kudos for the front office and Terry Fontenot right now, too, especially going into next year, too, because right now it's looking like we're actually pretty decent. We're not, like, getting shit on like everyone talked about before. So we're going to win more than four games, everyone. So that's just excited to know, man. So, again, I'm going to keep standing by that. But it's, even though we got destroyed by the damn Bengals, our weaknesses, we need pass rush in the secondary. At least we can sort of we're not going to be like a shit show like everyone thought we were going to be. So that's my 5 cents on that. So there you go.
All the cuss words. I love it.
This is coming back. I'm not trying to be a cuss. It's been life is short now. Hey, Gary, let's talk about your top five teams right now in the NFL.
Well, my top five teams in the NFL in order, even though they're a one-loss team, I'm putting the Bills at number one just because I just think that they're the best team right now in football.
Yeah,
but
well,
the Eagles
I
are
agree
close
with
behind
them.
Not but the Eagles are close behind them.
One, two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I put Kansas City at number three. I put the Cowboys at number four. And I put the Vikings at number five. And the reason why I put the Cowboys above the Vikings, I think if they were to play, I think the Cowboys could beat the Vikings. So that's why I put them at four instead of five.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I put the Bills at number one, too. When you look at their schedule and the teams that they beat, they've had an extremely tough schedule. And they've had some tough road wins, too. And compared to the Eagles, no slouch with the Eagles being 7-0, they beat all the teams that was on their schedule. But I moved the Bills up at number one as well. I have the Eagles at number two. I kept the Vikings at number three. And one of the reasons I put the Vikings at number three is because not only are they getting it done with points on the board, but they're also playing some pretty solid defense as well. They're forcing turnovers. So I have the Vikings at the three spot. I have the Cowboys in number four. We know about their defense. And now with Dak and Tony Pollard now and that 1-2 punch, I think offensively they're going to be even better now too. Then number five, I have the Chiefs at the number five position. Still slightly concerned about the Chiefs' defense. But, I mean, obviously, you got to outscore them on most weeks, and that's going to be tough to do. So I have the Chiefs at the number five position.
Man, y'all are wild. There is one team that is undefeated. How they can be number two, I don't care if they play the five of us for seven straight weeks. They are undefeated. And until they lose this game as the only undefeated team, they are number one. Are you kidding me? A.J. Brown, I said, they drug tested that man the next day because he just made Pittsburgh look dumb. He pointed at him, trying to play with single coverage. Three touchdowns, what he has done for Jalen Hurts is phenomenal. They run the ball, they play defense. Then they went and got Robert Quinn from the Bears to only help bolster that defense. They got a number one quarterback in Darius Slay. Like, come on, man. Goddard is a tight end. They have a legitimate squad. We can have this conversation in 2 weeks after they lose or if they lose the game. But as long as they're undefeated and they are putting up points and just embarrassing people for the most part, I give Dallas credit. They got back in that game after they were down early. But I'm going to go with Philadelphia. I will go five with everything else you said, Gary, but I got to flip-flop Buffalo and Philadelphia. I feel like while they're undefeated, as much as I don't like to see the Philadelphia in a role of their own because fuck them and the Phillies, they are undefeated, and you got to give them their flowers for right now. I'm more than happy to bring them down after they lose the game, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt of being number one while they're undefeated. That's just me. They're undefeated.
Well,
it's hard to do.
Well, how about Philly, man? With the Phillies in the World Series and even
I totally understand that. But I want to go back to the 3, 4, and 5 spots. I had KC, the Cowboys, and the Vikings. I told you I think that the Cowboys can beat the Vikings.
I agree.
But in that third spot, KC, even with the Cowboys' defense playing good as they are, that's that team that really scares me playing them. So that's why I put them ahead of the Cowboys in that. So that's how I determined those three teams is how they would do against each other. And I think KC, yeah, I mean, Dan Mahomes is just that guy, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
Three and five, I totally agree with you all. I agree with that for the same reason. Minnesota against Kansas City or Dallas, I think all of us on here would take Kansas City and Dallas over Minnesota. But Minnesota 6-1, so you got to give them their credit. But if they face those other two teams in front at the 3 and 4 spot, I agree. They would both beat Minnesota in my estimation. I just cannot put Philadelphia number one while they're undefeated in the NFL. It's hard to win games in the NFL. If you go undefeated through 8 weeks, I'm going to give you your
– I could put
the
Eagles right now, as much as I hate them, I could put them at 15.
I was about to say, Garrett was going to look for any reason not to put them number one. But I just think –
You agree, Will?
I agree with you.
I know.
I'm a JQ. Garrett was doing it 7-0. Because he hates the Eagles. I was doing it because I think the Bills are legitimately a better team.
I tell you what, though, that'd be a good game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Philadelphia,
yeah.
Buffalo?
Yeah.
That'd be a good game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now it's the Super Bowl. I mean, I would predict those two teams being a Super Bowl this season and today for sure.
Yeah.
Well, they should be the favorites to play.
It is funny to see because I definitely agree with, like, you know, maybe there's some spite in there, but it's right, JQ. They are 7-0, so you got to pick. I'm naturally thinking the Eagles are going to be number one because they're like, they are 7-0 until they get knocked out.
Yeah, you probably can't tell Scott Mitchell.
Arguments
of both Phillies in the World Series up 2-1 and the Eagles undefeated.
Man, that guy. We should probably call him. That dude is like, he'll know what his name is. He's over there talking all kinds of smack, man. That's what he does, man. He's like, yeah, FNF.
And
he's funny, man. So,
and their MLS team is in the championship game. So definitely,
yeah. Don't remind us. We need to keep them quiet, you know. So it's all good. Hey, did you want to talk about McCaffrey's performance against the Rams, Gary, really quickly too, as well? Because McCaffrey throwing touchdowns over 30 yards, making Jimmy Garoppolo look pretty bad over there. He already throwing.
Let's not get carried away.
I mean,
it's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Hey,
he's done that before.
He knows how to throw the football. And would you have thought bringing in a guy bringing in a guy that quick, right, and come up with that kind of a play, that was a good move. It was a good play. No one was expecting it.
Mm-mm.
Touchdown Niners.
It's a good play because it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say,
definitely.
If he throws the interception, you're going to say, why the fuck do you have McCaffrey throw a pass? So I give you that. It's a good play. He's done it before, but it's a good play because it's worked. But whenever you take the ball in the quarterback's hands and have him throw the ball, I'm always like, you saw when Amari Cooper tried to throw it against the Bengals to a pick. That's what I was like.
I've watched a lot of these 49er games out here,
mm-hmm.
all of them, for the last couple of years.
Shanahan,
I mean, if you can tell by somebody's body language, you know, whether they like that guy or not. And he despises Garoppolo. I mean, you can see it. I mean, it's just so I'm sure he's a quarterback. Let's McCaffrey can do.
That's my quarterback. Why are you talking about my quarterback?
They're going to be interested next year. I don't think they're really sold yet on Lance's completion, his accuracy. But I just don't know if they'll bring Garoppolo back to run it back. So do they spend another pick? They got to go get somebody. They ain't got no picks. I don't know. That's going to be fascinating. That's why they got to do it this year. Because next year, you can't just say Trey Lance is going to come in and keep them at those same heights. And I agree with you. They want to be so done with Garoppolo. It's not funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to have a choice.
Yeah. And another thing, you got Trey Lance coming off a major injury, too. I mean, it takes almost 2 years to recover fully from an injury like that, too.
Yeah. And he's a quarterback that relies on his athleticism. If he was a pocket quarterback,
exactly.
He might be able to get back. But he needs to be able to get out and move around to be effective. And I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be back to 100% to do that. So it's like, what do you do for San Francisco? If this doesn't work out this year, if you didn't fall short, do you bring Garoppolo back even though you hate him? Like, interesting stuff.
Yep.
We forgot about the connection with McCaffrey because I think somewhere, like, they were going to make the trade because Ed McCaffrey played with John Lynch during, you know, you have all these different dynamics and then Shanahan's and, you know, it's just interesting how they got him to come to San Francisco. So it's just, you know, that was kind of
pretty. And he went to Stanford.
Dynamic,
I mean, it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So everything kind of worked out. Robert Sala is sticking with Zach Wilson. Rob, what's up with that, man?
I mean, wait. I think
he
has a choice. You know, he drafted a guy in the first round. I mean, I know he's struggling, and you know, these last few games he struggled in the first three quarters, and then he got hot in the fourth quarter. But this past Sunday, he was horrible in all four quarters. And hey, you spent the number two overall draft pick on him. You got to see what he can do. You got to see if he can grow out of this and develop him. I mean, you got Joe Flacco backing him up, and he's like 85 years old. I mean you got no choice but to stick with Zach Wilson right there. And
Rob, with Joe Flacco with bad knees, bad back, bad hips, bad shoulders, bad elbows, bad wrists, he doesn't do one thing that Zach Wilson does. He doesn't play scared. The kid just seems like he plays scared. He's unsure of what he wants to do out there. And what happens when you play scared? You hesitate. And when you hesitate, when you're dealing with, you know, hundredths of a second in that game of inches, that's what creates those mistakes. And that's what he's doing.
But I think the Jets have got to go through these growing pains with them. I don't think it's, in my opinion, I think Robert Saleh's doing the right thing by sticking with them. I don't think turning to Joe Flacco is going to be the answer for him. I mean, we saw early this year Flacco, what, he threw 3-4 INTs in one game himself early this year.
Yeah.
I know he did have one good game this year, though, Flacco. He did.
He was horrible against the Bengals.
So I don't think turning to Flacco is the answer. I think they're going to have to go through these growing pains. I mean, I don't have their record in front of me, but I believe they're 5-3. So they have a winning record. They've been playing outstanding defense. Sauce Gardner has been outstanding. Robert Saleh said, keep testing him if you want to. But he's been tremendous. And then on the defensive line, Quinnen Williams and Sheldon Rankins have been outstanding in the middle. I mean, so it's tough to run the football on them. They get an interior pass rush as well from those two big guys. So they got to find a way to at least get Zach Wilson to an effective game manager, because their defense, I mean, obviously losing Breece Hall is going to be tough. They're going to have to go to a 1-2 punch with Michael Carter and James Robinson, see if they can offset some of that. But, you know, losing Breece Hall was a huge blow to them. But if they keep playing defense the way they're playing, and if they can figure out to get Zach Wilson to get rid of these turnovers, they're going to be a competitive team the rest of the season.
Oh, he's getting rid of them. He's getting rid of those turnovers. He's just getting rid of them right to the other teams.
But you know what I mean. He's got to stop turning the ball over.
There you go.
So they don't have the guy on the roster they can turn to. That other kid that played somewhat good last year is not the answer. And we know that Joe Flacco, like you said, at 85 is not the answer. I think also what's happening is that he's got to grow up. It doesn't look like he takes the game. His preparation is right. Like, he's just out there just doing shit. And you're like, Zach, what are you doing, bro? But if you're a solid, what you have to do, if you want to keep your job and you got everything else right except for the quarterback, you let that dude play until it comes apparent that he can't play no more. And then you can say, you know what, we made a mistake. You all saw it. We gave him this whole season to prove himself. We surrounded him with talent on both sides of the ball, and he shit the bed. So then if something happens and you're able to go get one of these young quarterbacks that may fall to, if they end up being 10th to 15th, you can go get another one, because all the Jet fans are going to be like, you know what, that's a great move. At least they didn't double down on Zach Wilson and keep doing it year after year. He showed the whole world this year. He's not that dude. We went and got somebody else. We cut our losses. That's a guy who can get behind us, not afraid to say, I made a mistake, and go get another quarterback. But you have to let him be out there to play so that everybody sees that he's not that guy.
Yep.
So there's no second guessing that decision. So to me, he may not ever say that out loud, but I think that's a part of it, that either you're going to elevate or you're going to be bad, and everybody's going to be like, get rid of that dude, and I'm going to have everybody's backing to get rid of you. It's on you, Zach Wilson, what you want to do. I love it. Nobody has any expectations for the Jets this year. They're playing with house money right now.
So, Rob, do you believe that it's preparation for this kid, that it's just immaturity, that he's just not getting himself prepared for game day? He's that guy, has the talent, he's just not mature enough? Is that what you're thinking? I'm asking you, Rob.
I think he definitely has the talent. So I agree with that the maturity level. But, hey, let's think about it. What's this kid, 22, 23 years old, maybe 24? Think about all of us at that age, right? Did we have the maturity that we needed to just yet? So I think they got to go through some growing pains with them. Sometimes you see some of these kids come in.
Yeah, we all did.
Maturity level.
Just Rob didn't.
No, I'm going to say I got a question there. I also didn't have a million-dollar-plus contract on the line either. But if you look at it, he's embracing the social media thing. Yeah, I mess with my mom's friends and whatnot. Like, I'm banging them, and I'm out in New York doing this. It seems like he's embraced that when he got that whole piece that, oh, he was knocking his mom's friends off. Everybody was like, go get him, Zach Wilson. And he was like, yeah, I'm that dude. Or are you that dude to be in your playbook, to be in film study? Like, he's to me, more likely to be a social media star and embrace that side of it, but not take the other side of the work that needs to go with it to marry the two. That's why I say that. Like, I don't want to say he didn't have the talent, but he just feels like he's embraced that, you know, everybody loves me because I bang on older women. But, like, dude, I need you to bang on this playbook. And it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. So there's no question about his talent, but he's got to get it between the ears, and he's got to start doing it on the field. There's no question about it. But I think the Jets are willing to go through the growing pains with him to see what they're going to get, as JQ just mentioned a little while ago. See where he is at the end of the season. You make an evaluation. Hey, we saw this with Arizona a few years ago. What was the quarterback they drafted? Josh from UCLA?
Rosen.
Josh Rosen. 1 year, and then drafted Kyler Murray the very next season. So, I mean, hey, you want to see what this kid's going to do. There's no question about his arm talent. He has it. He has the mobility. He has the talent. But, hey, what are you going to do in the football field? And they're going to wait and see what they have there before they make any rash decision. And the rash decision will be to go to the 85-year-old that's backing them up. And I don't think that's the right decision to make at this time.
Well, I think they're lucky to have a 5-3 record. You know, I think they're very lucky to have that with him at quarterback.
With the turnovers that they have offensively, absolutely. I think you're right. But the good thing is their defense has been forcing turnovers too.
Yeah,
I mean, they've been getting these sack fumbles. They've been getting the interceptions. They're getting good coverage in the secondary. So their defense has been kind of offsetting some of the mistakes their offense have made. I mean, a couple of those games, they just totally dominated some of their opponents. And like in blowout fashion, more than 20 points. And so to a certain degree, I agree with you that they are lucky just because of the number of turnovers on offense. But, man, their defense have been forcing turnovers and turning them into points too.
Yeah.
But to your point that you brought up about Josh Rosen, everybody agreed that he wasn't that guy. And when they had a chance to get Kyler Murray, everybody agreed you should go get Kyler Murray. I think that's the same thing they're doing with Zach Wilson. If you go and you fall in your face by being that dude and not being prepared, if we have the opportunity to go rectify the situation, I think we'll all get back on here and say, yep, they gave Zach Wilson a good defense. He got a 1-2 punch of running back. He didn't have the best one because he got hurt, but he still had a serviceable running game. We went and drafted him another wide receiver. We signed one in free agency in Corey Davis. We did everything we thought we could do to make him successful, and you see what he's done. I think the whole world would be like, well, I mean, just do what you got to do. And that's part of that is that you have to play him for the world to see who he is and who he isn't so you can either stay or move on.
Yep. And ultimately, I think the question was, is Robert Saleh making the right decision? I think all of us would agree, yes. He's making the right decision by sticking with Zach to see what he has. And it's not the answer to turn to Joe Flacco.
Because it's not like a San Francisco, we're talking about our teams with aspirations. The Jets had no aspirations coming into this year. If you had told them they would have had a winning record after 8 weeks, they would have said, you're a damn block. The fans would have said it. They would say, there's no way we would talk. I'm just saying. So if you're at this point and you're playing with house money, you got to roll that dude out there and see because you were going to do it anyway. If it ended up 4-12 or 4-13, you were going to do it to find out. But if you're 5-3, you still got to keep rolling with it to see if he's going to be the long-term solution. They're playing with house money. 100% he's got to stick with Zach Wilson and see what he has.
Hey, but good news, Vinny Testaverde is still waiting whenever he's ready, man. He is ready to.
Vinny Testaverde.
Man, you pulled one out right there.
Miami, baby, stand up.
Man, I used to think Vinny Testaverde was colorblind. Remember that?
Wow, I'm big Testaverde. I ain't thought about Vinny in a minute.
Bernie Kosar.
Man.
Oh, man.
I don't think they got his vision right till he was in his 30s.
I was going to say this really quickly. Well, think about that, too, because you got the different ends of the spectrum. But he's a young guy, man. He's got so much time to grow and develop. Like you said, JQ, he should be banging the play, but he's in so many other things. But you got to remember, you look at the polar opposite in Geno Smith, man. You talk about a guy that was at New York. He's finally putting together now this late in his career, right? So sometimes guys need that time to develop. We're not saying it's going to take Zach Wilson that long, but it's just interesting to see how different guys are going to develop at certain points too, because now it feels like Geno Smith finally has it, you know? So it's just kind of an interesting situation with that. And he's the play for New York, if you think about that too. So that's
But you know what? That Seattle spotlight is nowhere near as harsh as that New York spotlight. So you don't always get that same benefit of that when you're playing in New York. I mean –
That's true too. So, but
I'm a different beast. The media
embracing it. He embracing it. They seem to like him, but like you said, you know, you're like, they give him a high five. So you sleep with him, and you're like, wait a minute. You know, we doing just not the pacify. So we 5-3 right now. If they were 0-8 or something like that, different conversation. You know what I'm saying? Different conversation.
Correct.
So, again,
you know, the Geno Smith piece I mentioned it earlier. It's, you know, I haven't seen the quarterback to have this kind of resurgence in his 30s since Rich Gannon. And, you know, Rich Gannon was one of those guys who first 10 years of his career was just warming the bench, holding the clipboard, and all of a sudden he became Pro Bowl quarterback in his early 30s and took the Raiders to the Super Bowl.
Guys, really quickly, before the show, I do want to get some – we're going to switch gears slightly because I want to talk about some predictions for college football because I am curious to hear your thoughts, man. We got a really big game. Someone's just going to get number one Georgia. So what say you about this? You know, this is going to be pretty interesting. So I know some of y'all Tennessee to win, but what's realistically – what's your thoughts on this? Whoever wins this game, I mean, you're punching your ticket to the SEC championship. This is a really big game. You know, Georgia, you know, like I said, you know, they just lost Nolan Smith for the year. That's a big injury. Yep. But what say you about this one right here? This is really, really big. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I'm going with Tennessee on the road, in between the hedges, in Athens. This Tennessee team reminds me of this LSU team with Joe Burrow 2019. Their offense is just explosive. Josh Heupel is doing a phenomenal job disguising plays and running that offense. I think Tennessee goes into Athens, and they whip that ass. It's not going to be a blowout. But I think they'll win this game by at least 6 to 10 points. Tennessee, and you know what's interesting? Before the college football playoff rankings came out tonight, in my personal top five, I had Tennessee number one. I had them number one. I had Ohio State number two. I actually had Michigan number three and Georgia number four. And TCU at number five. That was my personal top five. So I actually agree with the college football rankings that came out with Tennessee 1 and Ohio State number 2 here. So I like Tennessee on the road beating Georgia. Obviously no Nolan Smith, as you just mentioned. I think it's going to be a heck of a football game, but I think Tennessee finds a way to win this game.
Hell no. And I'm not a Georgia fan, but in between the hedges to come to that, no. Bowers, if they don't get Bowers and Washington and run that two tight end set with the stable running backs they have and simplify this game and take the air out of the ball for Tennessee, they could do that. Tennessee doesn't have a world-class defense. That offense half-line, 100%, and I won't take that away from them. But Georgia is talented on both sides of the ball, front to back. If they would just get out their own way, like they was beating the brakes off Florida, and they stopped doing the things that they was doing to get up on Florida and let Florida back in the game. I think that's a part of that is because they had their eyes looking to next week to Tennessee. Listen, I had to wait. I had to see Tennessee beat Alabama before I could believe it. I had to see Tennessee beat Georgia before I could predict it. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia at home.
I'm also going to go with Georgia. I think they're going to be too strong at the point of attack, both offense and defensively. Those lines are just fantastic. Georgia, sorry, Tennessee, you're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Wow. That's not necessarily true. I can't say that. If their one loss is only to Georgia and Georgia goes and plays, say, Alabama in the SEC championship and they give Alabama a second loss, no, Ohio State and Michigan, one of them is going to also get a loss because they got to play each other. I wouldn't kick the dirt on them yet. If their only loss is to Georgia in a somewhat close game on the road, I wouldn't kick the dirt on them yet.
Yeah. Last time Tennessee was this great was back in the day when T. Martin led them to like that record, if you will. So I guess okay, let's get ready for OT really briefly here, if you will, Rob. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready for our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. You click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Once again, you click on the same link and get the rest of the show. We still got some football predictions to make that you want to hear. We want to hear from you and you all's comments on the show. Hey, next week, we're going to be back at you on Tuesday night. Hey, Philadelphia, we want to hear from y'all. You got the Eagles undefeated. You got the Phillies in the World Series. I know Andre and JQ doesn't like it, but we want to hear from y'all. We want to hear from y'all. You know, on the World Series, as well as what the Eagles going to do. And y'all got a hater on the show, too, Gary, you know, hating on your Eagles. You know, so I want y'all to call in. Come on, Philadelphia. Call in to the show.
Yes, I am.
We want to hear from y'all next week. 11 o'clock Eastern time in Philadelphia. Central time zone, 10 o'clock Chicago. Justin Fields to answer. We want to hear from y'all. Call into the show on next week. In the Mountain Time Zone. We want to hear from y'all in Denver and Salt Lake City. That's going to be 9 p.m. Man, the Utah Jazz, man, I thought it was going to be in the bottom three of the Western Conference, man. They went in game. So 9 p.m. Mountain Time Zone. And then, of course, in the West Coast, San Francisco, Seattle, we want to hear from y'all. Who's going to win that NFC West? That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
I told you, man, that 95 corridor from D.C. to Boston, all of them in Memphis is crazy. That's why it's hard to root for any of them teams. Unless you just are from there and like those teams, those are some crazy folks. I can't get down with Philadelphia. They're crazy as hell. I appreciate y'all for listening to the show, though. Calling in. Be crazy.
Hey,
D.C., Philadelphia, New York, Boston.
It's two of us. Hey,
Philly,
it's two of us over here that hate the Eagles.
Yes.
Let's make that, okay? There's two of us here that hate the Eagles. Curtis and I both hate the Eagles, so just to clarify that.
Yeah, Cowboys
Eagle
fans. I mean, that's natural.
I don't have a skin in the game. I told you, D.C., Philadelphia, New York, Boston, you meet somebody from those four places, I guarantee you got 1 to 5 stories about them being crazy as hell. There's something in the water up there in that Northeast Corridor.
There's no brotherly love in Philadelphia whatsoever. I land in Philadelphia, there's no brotherly love at all, man. I don't even know what's happening.
Zero.
That's tough. I do want to do my prediction. I want to go see Rob Tennessee, but I'm going to have to go to Georgia, by the way. So I want to get that in there, too, because I'm like, is it here for Tennessee? I don't know, man. They can be ready.
Hey y'all know I'm on a roll with these predictions. With me being the only one picking someone, so I'm going to have to prove y'all wrong again.
Yeah, we'll see.
We go see.
I'm at LSU. Right into that, Rob. So what say you for this prediction? Let's go right into that really quickly here. What's up with that?
What's that?
Alabama at LSU.
Oh, you know what it is.
As much as I want to pick LSU, they're playing a lot better. I mean, they just totally dominated Ole Miss a few weeks ago and shut down their running game and beat Ole Miss 45-20. But obviously, I think LSU is trending in the right direction, but it's going to be tough against Alabama. But I think LSU is going to hang with them. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Alabama pulls away in the end. I'm going to go with something like 30-20 Alabama.
Wait a minute. Did you really just call them Ole Miss? You didn't call him Ole Piss?
Ole Piss.
And I was trying to show him some respect.
I thought I was like, what? Yeah, no, man. I'm going with Alabama. I think the thing about it sometimes for Nick Saban and them is that he won't say it out loud, and I know that he wants to go undefeated, don't get me wrong. But when those kids hear Alabama, they hear on the media, they call it rat poison. Sometimes when they catch that loss early to a Texas A&M, you know, like he – or to a Tennessee, when they've had so much success against everybody, it allows him to refocus them. And be like, see, I told y'all we had stuff we had to work on. Y'all thought y'all was better than you were. You went out there and got your asses handed to me. Now come back to dad, and we're going to get this thing fixed. Then you watch him then kind of take off after those losses happen. So I think the same thing is happening right now. So be very wary of Alabama. When they went to Mississippi State, oh, Will Rogers. I said they're going to beat the brakes off Mississippi State. Sure enough. I got to say, I mean, LSU is playing better. But I think he's got those Alabama kids' attention. I think Alabama wins.
And what's the score? What's your prediction? Give us the score.
Oh, 34-21.
Well, I'm going to surprise you guys on this one.
No, you ain't.
No,
yes,
you
I am. Yeah, you're right. I'm not. I'm going with Alabama. I just wanted to give Rob – I wanted to see Rob's face and just give him a glimmer of hope before I shattered his dreams.
Oh, man.
I was like, I've heard that one before.
31-17 Alabama.
This is one of those games I hope we all are wrong.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Alabama.
I know you are.
Alabama for that one. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, listen, the whole country is rooting for LSU this week. The whole country. After these rankings came out, the whole country is rooting for LSU this week. 100%. To give Alabama 2 losses, you got everybody supporting you.
Yep. You're going to need a little bit. I know Jake James has been playing well. He's going to have another remarkable game for them to have a shot at winning.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm hoping that LSU wins. They're not going to. But I'm praying that they do. And if they do, let's all have some champagne and we'll coast them next week. Because it's always fun. Saban doesn't lose many games. But when he does, I love seeing him just go crazy on the sidelines. I love that. I love watching him
walk it
back. Oh, yeah. I just love it. And he don't want to talk to the guy. If he wins, he's going to want to shake the guy's hand and, you know, pat him on the shoulder and talk to the guy. But when he loses, and it hasn't been many, he wants to just touch hands and get the hell out of there. He hates it. So that's what I want to see. I am rooting for LSU this
Saturday night in Dead Valley.
Yep. Let's get this last We're done with that. I don't really care about Wake Forest and NC State.
They both lost their quarterbacks, didn't they? I know NC State lost their starting quarterback, I think, for the year, but didn't Sam get hurt from Wake Forest, or is he back?
I think Sam is back.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know
I like
he was
Wake Forest on the road in this one.
I do, too. If Sam is back, I like Wake Forest.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a dude. We should get back to the NFL real quick, and then I'll let you guys pick your topics for the fantasy. Shout out to the topics, and we'll leave. Bills or the Jets. We were talking about the Jets. Is this a trap game for the Bills? Rob, what do you think about this one?
We already talked about this. I think the Bills are going to go on the road and win. Zach Wilson going to turn over the ball at least two times in this game, too. And, I just like the way the Bills right now, they're just playing great on both sides of the football right now. I like what they're doing. I just mentioned I had them number one team in the league right now. Yeah, I definitely like the Bills on the road. Man, so far, four games, I picked the road team in all four.
Wow. I'm going with Buffalo as well. I think part of that with Green Bay, if they got up on them there, but they had the big line of 10.5 points, the most Aaron Rodgers has ever been underdog by. They just tried to toy with Green Bay in that second half and almost came back to bite them. I think this is, you know, this, like we talked about, this being a divisional game and it just, you know, even surviving some of these turnovers like Zach Wilson being 5-3, this is we still the big boys on the block in this division, little upstart Jets. Let us show you how we can get their D. I think the Bills beat the brakes off the Jets probably by 20 points or more.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think Curtis and I agree the Bills are going to kick their silly asses, and he's going to Zach Wilson run like a little schoolgirl.
Let's see. What about the Titans at the Chiefs?
Hey, I'm finally picking the home team. I'm going with the Chiefs in this one. But, you know, I think Tennessee is going to bring some physicality to this game. I just don't think they're going to be able to score as many points as the Chiefs are going to be able to score. And that's going to be the difference maker. Tannehill versus Patrick Mahomes. Hey, you're going to go with Patrick Mahomes at home. But I think, like I said, I think Tennessee brings some physicality in this game. But I'm going to go 27-17 Chiefs at home.
This is one of these games. Either way, him or Malik.
This is one of the games
that the Chiefs can probably feel good about their secondary against a Tennessee wide receiver court that don't really scare you. I'll put 8-9 guys in the box. I might play zero. I might play just single high safety. I'm going to say if Ryan Tannehill and his band of misfits beat me on the outside, then we got other problems to worry about. But who's not going to beat me is going to be Derrick Henry. We load in that box, and we're going to make you try to throw it over our heads with wide receivers we just don't have any belief in. I'm going with Kansas City in that game.
I think Curtis and I are both going with Kansas City at home. You know, they're hard to beat at home anyway. And I think Tennessee to me is a little bit of fool's gold anyway. I think the Chiefs are going to win this one.
Yeah.
And they're going to win
the division with the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Colts. And stuff.
Right.
And stuff.
Somebody got to win that shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you put him in the
Tennessee's 5-2.
And
that's funny.
The Colts are averaging Matt Ryan's jersey number for points per game. That's why they benched him. 2 points per game. And, I mean, come on.
Points. Yeah. But that's
they fired off
the
coordinator.
They fired Marcus Bradley. They're like 30th right now. When I was looking at the stats in points per game with 16. That's hilarious. You talk about a situation where they had a really amazing offensive line. What happened from here? Are they getting old? I mean, you go from like a dominant offensive line to a great running back in Jonathan Taylor, and then you had Matt Ryan thinking, okay, all right, we got some, you know, Alex Pierce, you got some wide receivers. You talk about just somebody that fell off a cliff. I mean, obviously the quarterback position, they've had like six quarterbacks in the past like couple years from, you know, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, you know, Jacoby Brissett. You know, now they get Matt Ryan, 1A. Now they get Sam Ellinger, 1B. I mean, they haven't had any solid quarterback play either, but still, it's just been like a dumpster fire ever since then, man. So you talk about just terrible for the Colts right now, and I feel for Jonathan Taylor right now. Really do, because that dude's talented. I don't know what the hell is happening over there, man. So it's rough. Don't cry for us, though, you know, through the Colts.
I want to say something here. You know, Curtis had a few little issues this week, and not little, big, but he was, you know, able to tough him out and continue his battle with ALS. And I get over here now, and Curtis isn't able to participate like that, but here's everything that you guys say. He's listening to it. We have conversations regarding it before and after I get off the air. And so this is our normal thing. Us five on here, since you guys brought Curtis and I on, has been phenomenal, and we really appreciate that, truly. And Curtis and I to be here and to do this, it's that sense of normalcy that he needs in his life. And so he's able to watch all these sports. Sometimes he's watching games, and I'll call over here. I'll see if he's watching. So, and if he's watching something, then I'll pick his brain. I can't if I've got something going on at home. So he's been definitely been help on getting through my notes for the podcast and stuff. So he's still a part of it, even though he's weak and he's at this stage, but he's continuing the fight. He's the, you know, one of the toughest people I've ever met in my life, and I wanted to say that to you guys on air. I know Rob's had a pleasure to meet Curtis, fantastic individual, and I'm grateful to be here with him tonight.
You fine, man.
Yep.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate
you're
you.
A true warrior and fighter, Curtis. Hang in there, bro.
Yep.
We love you, man.
100%.
Absolutely. Yep. Rob, wrap it up with some fantasy shout-outs, and then the last topic, and we can wrap up the show because everyone wants to get some rest here.
All right. Fantasy shout-outs for the week. Let's get to my notes here. All right. We'll start with the fantasy basketball. Andre's team, triple-double, had biggest week in the win of the week, 7-2 over JQ's team, Ohio Players, and also first place. That's Rick and Austin. His team also had a 7-2 win over I'm So Hardened, and Andre's team's in first place, triple-double, with a 14-4 record.
I was traveling on Monday, and I didn't get a chance to set my schedule. That's the only reason that shit happened. I'll see your ass again.
He's coming. Shots fired. He's coming after you, Drake.
I was in the car. I got home and said, shit, and missed like five dudes starting them, and I never could recover. No, he's got a good team, but I couldn't come back because I forgot to start my dudes in the car.
I'm not going to remind you. Hey, kid, you guys thought you were playing? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
got lucky.
I was trying to get back to Atlanta.
You okay, JQ? Okay, I'm not going to say anything.
It's fine. It's my fault. Party foul on me.
I got lucky.
All right. League number one in fantasy football, Lions King. That's Casey from Atlanta. He's a Michigan fan, too, JQ. And the biggest win of the week, 201.50 over Monsters of the Midway, 83.52. And Scary Daddy, his team, Purple and Gold Patrol, 6-2.
That's John from
inside joke. We called him Scary Daddy in high school. He was scared of that paddle.
All
right.
Every single time.
No, listen, go ahead.
I love it.
League number two, Boxcar Willie 02. That's Mark in New Orleans, had the biggest win of the week, 194.68 over Pelly's, 70.30. My team, Bourbon Street Hustlers, in first place at 6-2. League number three, Andre's team, the biggest win of the week, Wakanda Forever, 161.44 over Nola for Life, 82.54. And Paul, sensational team. Paul in Atlanta in first place with a 6-2 record. And lastly, league number four. This dude named Chester from New Orleans. He got all symbols for his team names. Explosion, triple X explosion. I don't know. He actually beat Andre's team with the biggest win of the week, 150.38. Over Don't Forget About Dre, 86.88. We won all the smoke at 7-1.
I had A.J. Brown in one league, and then he, I think, yeah, whatever he had, man, I got my ass to that. I was like,
JQ beat me pretty good in one league, doggone Christian McCaffrey with doggone 3 touchdowns.
You're like, yeah, well. Like, I started to pick him up, like, oh, damn, JQ already picked him up, damn it. That dude was on it.
You may think he already on the street. Yeah, no, I drafted McCaffrey.
No. Did you draft him? Oh, hold on. Okay, you drafted for the whenever he was for the Panthers. Okay. No.
Yeah, no, I drafted McCaffrey. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, my bad. Okay, never mind. Okay. All good. Cool. So, like I said, it's been a good week. Appreciate you guys for sure. Again, hug your loved ones, man, because life definitely is short. It's something that you realize whenever you're going through things, you know. So just keep that in mind. Be safe.
Yep.
Looking forward to this Saturday, Rob. It should be fun. Please, no asparagus, yep. Man. You know. I'm just saying. You gotta have some vegetables.
Take a little deep dish pizza, man.
We're gonna have some vegetables. Please, just don't go ham on those asparagus, man. Okay, that's all I ask, man.
Deep dish asparagus pizza.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to put some asparagus in Andre's deep dish.
Man, y'all stupid. Get off the phone.
You gotta eat an Italian sausage in Chicago too.
Yeah.
But just there's gonna be a line because there can't be that much because the pea can't there. No, it's gotta be if we're by ourselves, that's a different conversation. Not in the same room. That's all I'm gonna say. You know, please. Pray for me, guys, that Rob doesn't go asparagus ham on me this weekend, please. It's all good. That's all.
Hey, you know, I just
messaged. Hey, I'm going to pray for you because I think you ordered asparagus on that beige pizza. He might get beat up, so just step back a little bit.
Put the asparagus on it.
I have asparagus as a snack today too. It worked.
Okay, I'm getting off the phone.
Some of y'all be eating those cookies as a snack, man. I feel like they're asparagus. Thank you, baby. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Let's see, guys. He's like pointing to the exit. I'm out. Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Trying to help y'all.
Okay?
Yes, sir. Hey, man, y'all take food.
We like veggies, Rob. We've got to stop, man. Asparagus,
yep.
We got to stop.
Y'all stop talking about this.
Hey,
it's all good. Bye.
We're going to Clemson Notre Dame game this Saturday. It's going to be fun. We got our signs ready that JQ hates y'all, and so we'll be holding that up. With the phone number to the show, call and harass JQ.
That would be hilarious. That's going to be hilarious.
Thank you.
Hey, can't
have front and hand cards with the number of the show on there.
He hates y'all. And he hates all Catholics, too.
All right. We're going to
get good night, y'all.
Good night. Good night, y'all. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, fellas.
Good night. Oh, awesome.